Hey there! Did you know Ralph's always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Ralph's app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Ralph's today. Ralph's, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Joe. Welcome. Before we get started, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do your listening. Those five-star reviews really help spread the word of the podcast to other folks who might be interested in listening just like you, looking for book recommendations, author interviews, all that good stuff. We're on social media. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for the future, you can send an email to professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. I wanted to remind everyone that Emma and I are hosting the Libby Book Awards. You can register to watch the virtual Libby Book Awards ceremony presented by us on Zoom, or you can tune in on YouTube or Facebook Live. This will be Tuesday, March 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern. We hope to see you there. With that, let's get into today's episode. Today, we have quite a few guests with us. So Emma and I are here talking to Melissa, Shannon, and Andrea about the ways that they beat their reading slump and crush their reading resolutions. So everyone, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yay, I'm so glad you can all be here. We've got, I know y'all have heard from Andrea before. Melissa, you've been on before, right?
I have, but it's been a long time. I was remembering my last time was in 2020, like right before the pandemic. I was in office, maybe our last day in office, recording a podcast. Not that that has any connection here, but that was my last vivid memory of, oh my gosh, it's been a while. So yeah, hello, welcome.
What a time. What a time to think on that was your last. And Shannon, is this?
This is my first time on this podcast, yes.
Okay. I was like, no, yes. So see, we're all familiar, we're all comfortable. And I think this is a great topic for us to get to dive into today. Because we're at that point of the year, we're just wrapping up February at the time of recording. This is when anyone's resolutions, if you're a person who makes New Year's resolutions, if you're a person who makes book goals and book resolutions, this is about the time you're starting to see if the pasta's sticking to the wall or not. And so I wanted to kind of empower our listeners and this room of wonderful readers to share how you get about making resolutions for the year and what do you do when you get stuck. So let's just kind of start off with some general tips to help with your reading goals.
Well, I think some of the topics that we're going to talk about is probably related to this, but like, you know, thinking about TBR list, I think they could be social media. It's been like a blessing and a curse for me.
Definitely.
Because you see all these book talkers who are like, this book is amazing. And then like, and then you start like, going online and whatnot, and you're like, well, a lot of people are talking about it, but it could just be all like promotional stuff. So like, you have to like take it with a grain of salt, do your due diligence, and like, you know, read some reviews. And I think that's like, social media has added a lot to my list of my reading list, but it's also been one of those things where I'm like, I need to dial it back and really think about like, am I going to really enjoy this book? What are other people saying?
You really have to parse out if it's for you, if it's real. Now, Shannon, do you make reading goals for the year? I guess I should start asking everyone this. So Shannon, I'll turn back to you again.
Yes and no. I try to make it very like loose. Like I don't try to stick to one, like I've got to get 100 books in or whatever. Realistically, I just kind of say, okay, what could I, you know, actually finish in, you know, a 12-month period? And a lot of the times I lean on audiobooks to get those in just because life is crazy, kids, I'm in school, you know, there's lots of things that juggle.
Yeah, it's good to have something that can travel with you that you don't have to take your eyes away from what else you're doing.
Right.
Melissa, how about you? Do you set goals for the year?
do. I use Goodreads and they have the yearly reading challenge. So I set goals. I basically try and just up what I was able to do the previous year. You know, there's never a set in my head, set number other than looking at what I was able to do last year and then say, okay, I bet I could do a little bit more than that, you know, and thinking about what sounds like a good number. I think this year I landed on 50 because I was like, oh, I think I could do that. It's also a completely arbitrary number. So, but it's one of those that I feel like the reading challenge kind of framework helped me think about it in that way. But I also know myself well enough to know that I am bad at keeping resolutions. So shrug emoji, right? Like, I don't know if I'm actually going to hit that number.
Right. Well, and I like that, as you said, look at last year. How well did we do with that number? Are we doing a little more? Are we doing a little less? Are we keeping it the same? I think that that speaks really well is like, yeah, if a number works for you, great. Andrea, do you set reading goals or resolutions?
I do. I do something very similar to what Melissa does. I kind of, I do the Goodreads one. I look at what I did last year. I look at how many books are on my TBR. And also considering, well, am I going to reread anything? Am I going to stick to just new releases or newer books on my TBR? And yeah, this year I went with 30. And that felt like a good solid number. And I usually beat it, but I feel like for me, like 30 is like my safe number, especially with like two kids and having a life outside of reading. I don't want to go too high for me because then it's like, and I shouldn't let it get to me. But if I'm too shy, if I fall short of that number, it's like, I should have read more. And I want reading to be fun and not like I need to hit my number.
You want to gamify it a little bit. But knowing that there isn't a personal pan pizza on the other end of it, you also don't want to stress yourself out.
I mean, the Goodreads confetti is fun, but you know, it's not necessary. Yeah,
it's not the same as that book it sticker, you know, pan pizza, ride in a limo. That was one of our prizes back in the day in elementary school for like reading a certain amount was you could ride in the limousine to the Pizza Hut.
Fun.
It was a big to-do. It really, really drove a lot of my reading goals at the time.
I should make, like, if I hit it and I get the confetti, I get to buy a special edition of something I already own.
I support that. Mm. Really push yourself. And yes. I think that's a great way to go into how are you creating goals? You know, what are some tips that we have for readers? Of course, this is where I want to say there's no right or wrong way to set reading goals for yourself. The only thing wrong would be to judge yourself or give yourself harsh criticism or critique. Because at the end of the day, did you enjoy the books? Did you take some time for yourself? Like, that's what's important. What are some ways that you would go about setting reading goals?
I look for myself in my own history. That helps me, right? I also look at, you know, Shannon talked about having a TBR and adding a whole bunch of things to it. I really utilize mini TBRs to help set my goals. So instead of looking at my massive TBR, which I'm not going to lie is insane. There's way, way, way too many books on that list. I break it down and that helps me to come up with a more realistic goal of making like a mini TBR list based off of, I like NPR's Books We Love, for example, or when they do end of year lists at different places, I'll go and kind of put a lot of those books into kind of a mini TBR list and maybe make that kind of my goal to read through in my case, 50 books that I really liked from that list. So that's one thing that I like to do when I'm trying to think about goal setting is my own history and then kind of taking that huge number of all of the books and everything that I really, really want and narrowing it down into kind of a mini TBR that makes it easier. And I use Libby to tag. So like I have a little Libby tagged mini TBR list for some of those smaller titles.
I love that. I think tags are a great way to divide up the different things you're reading and working on and they feel a little more fluid. It feels like you can really move around a tag in a way, you know, having those kind of short lists that when I decide this one's got to go a little lower down or this one's going to go on like the backup list, it doesn't feel as bad as like or it doesn't feel so set in stone.
That makes sense. I definitely am fluid with my tags, right? Like I move things around a lot. And that's the nice thing about having kind of the sub list instead of just like the one massive TBR is having the smaller ones. I feel a lot more freedom to move things around within those smaller mini TBRs.
It's the thing that really keeps me going is Emma and I are both mood readers. And Emma, please jump on in here. Tell us about your reading goals and tell us about some of your tips. I know for me, the way that we're both like, I really want to read this book right now, but it's not what I'm in the mood for. Having little tiny lists of thrillers, of horror, of whatever, it, you know, breaking down all of the things that I've decided I need to read that way, super helpful. What about you, my dear co-host?
Yeah. Well, I think because we talk about this often on the pod, so I won't snooze fest everyone with a too lengthy of a response. But I find similar to what everyone else has said, setting like attainable, manageable goals helps make reading feel more fun. I never ever want it to feel like a chore. So I set my Goodreads goals similarly arbitrarily based off of whatever I did the previous year. And then honestly, in a twist that will shock no one, whatever my mood is at the time that I set the goal. So like last year, I think I set the goal for 25 books. And the prior year I had done 22 because it was 2022. And so on. So it's really just at random. And then if I far surpass it, then I feel like a genius. But I don't want to fall short of it because I would get stressed out for no reason. And then, yeah, just like similarly to what everyone else utilizes, sort of a tags list in Libby or like an immediate interest, what I want to read. And then sort of like a general forever to be read list. But I think I more immediately pay attention to like what I want to read in the near future. And then that just changes often, again, based on mood and what we get into the podcast and, you know, where the mood takes me.
I get a little bit of a cheat because like I am in grad school right now. So some of my book goals get achieved by reading some of the books that are signed via academically. So like that helps me get that filler in, I think, when it comes to like goals, but like same thing as everybody, kind of like set a Goodreads goal, see what I did last year. Last year, like I fell short by one and I was like, okay, realistically with all the things I'm going to have going on this year, I'm actually going to cut that down. So I'm like, I felt kind of bad. I'm like, I'm going to do like five less than I did last year, just so that like when I do achieve this, I'll feel really happy. But yeah, that little bit of cheat of like, oh, academically, I get to like fill in some professional development style books in there. And then like everything else is just fun reads, you know?
That's a really interesting point. For those, I personally don't set a reading goal. I kind of pick a vibe for the year. I will say this year, I want to fit a certain theme in, like maybe I really want to try this author or this genre. So I'll give myself like the challenge that way and make it more about the content than the number. So for all of you, since you all do set a number to some degree, you know, whether it's a strict number or kind of like Emma said, it was 2022, so I picked 22. How does it feel, to your point, Shannon, when you achieve it, or if you don't, like, do you find a big impact on yourselves?
I don't know. It's been a while since I haven't achieved my quantity goal. So it's hard for me to say, like, I'm just a really good reader, or I set really low goals, one of the two. But I know, like, I would look back and review, and like a couple of years ago when I did miss it, I was like, oh, why? I didn't have kids when I missed this. So it's kind of like one of those like degrading, like, why did I miss it back then? But in the grand scheme of things, like I still read, I think my goal that year was like 100 and I read like 95. So it's still like, you still read 95 books and it's been years since you've read 95 books in a year, but I missed my goal.
You missed that 100,
right?
And it'll hurt.
So yeah, it's just like, I think it's like one of those like weird, like mental, like unnecessary pressure we put on ourselves when we already have like true pressure we should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. So maybe like setting those lower goals or not setting a goal is like, this is an easy win. I can give myself one easy win this year and it's doing something I love.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think when I look at my goals, like if I haven't hit a number or whatever, again, I know myself enough to know that I'm not a good stick to my resolutions kind of gal. That's just, it is a challenge in my life. And so realistically, I know that like, if I don't hit it, I don't hit it. Something I did that kind of helped me view the overall like big picture of the thing was at the end of, I think, 2022, I went and I was kind of doing a recap on Instagram of like, here are all the books that I read. But I also went and looked at Libby of all the books that I had checked out but hadn't finished, or like, because I get really ambitious and I end up checking out a lot of books all at the same time and I cannot physically read or listen to all those books at the same time. And so it was interesting because I'm like, look at what I did, but also look at all of these books that I started or that I wanted to read. And it's a different thing. It's not that I had a goal around those, but it kind of made me feel like this was such a huge number. I was able to accomplish part of this, but look at all of this opportunity for future reading and like all of these things that I've tested out, or I've seen that this isn't for me, or I do really want to get back into it. You know, so I think sometimes it's about kind of reframing it, right? So instead of it being about such a hard goal number, you look at it kind of in this like, well, look at all of these cool things I got to, you know, like I got a little bit of this and, oh, I was able to add all these other books to my, a new mini list, you know, for the future. But I don't know. That's, I think, maybe my own justification of not being able to successfully stick to things, maybe. But that's definitely how I look. I think if I'm not able to get to it, I'm like, well, but look at all this other stuff that came from it, you know? So
I think that's helpful, though. You're getting to, you know, curate new lists by what you didn't get to or what you thought was aspirational.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think that Emma, I might have sent this to you over Instagram. I don't remember. I know I sent it to a couple people who are also readers. Someone took that scene from the first Harry Potter where Dudley's like, how many are there? And they're like, 36, counted them myself. And he's like, 36, but last year there were like 37. And he's like, well, some of them are bigger this year. And it's like, they were comparing it to like Goodreads, being like, I don't care how many pages you read. And if they were bigger books, how many books did you read? And you're like, but this one was over 1,000 pages. So like, I don't care. That's one book. You failed.
That is the hard part. It doesn't matter. Yep. It's still one book. It could be the size of three of the other books you read, but that's one book.
And I don't care if you read 200 pages of the book you didn't finish. It doesn't count. I'm like, but I still read a lot of it.
That is a good point. And I think a good way to sneak in, one of the ways that really helps me avoid the rut, and that is something that you brought up in our notes, Andrea, that is just DNFing books. When it comes to a book that you are not vibing with, if you are not vibing with it, shut that book, keep on going. Old me would have said, well, I started it, I have to finish it. And then I'd read for a while and then I'd drop off and then I'd pick it back up again. And in the middle of that, I'm not reading anything else. So this book has just like stalled all of my progress. How many of you are DNFing books? Are you people who have to like get through them? Are there, if you have to finish it, what helps you? How are we getting through our resolution if there are books that we have to finish?
I am savage when it comes to not finishing books. I will DNF it in the first chapter. I've gone farther, but there are times where I'm like, you know what? I don't care. And I'll stop reading it then. And I'm like, well, I tried. I don't know the next.
Emma, please. I know you've got thoughts and feelings.
Well, and so it's funny because I obviously recommend if you are not enjoying a book, don't waste time on it. But then I don't adhere to that at all. And I will suffer through depending on how much effort I've already invested. If I'm like past a certain threshold, and I feel like that's usually if I'm like at least 40% in, I will just like try to power through. Not always, but I will try to power through. Although lately, because as I've talked about literally nonstop, my most recent reading slump, I started and stopped a lot of books just because I wasn't in the mood. And so I am trying to lean more into that vibe where I just, if I started it and it's not the right mood, I can come back to it. I read it later. But we've been doing that a lot. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel that mood reading, I listened to that recent mood reading episode too. But I feel I just finished this month two different books that it took me quite a while to get through because I stopped and started them so many times. I really liked both of them in the end. It wasn't that, you know, there are times where I DNF a book because I'm like, this is just not my vibe. Not every book is for every reader. I get it. I know I'm not going to go back to it. But these ones, I knew that there was something there, and I knew I liked the authors. I knew I liked the books themselves. And I'll just say what they are. I'm not like, this is not a book shaming situation, because I did really like both of these books. But one was Jojo Moyes, Someone Else's Shoes. The main characters I found really hard to like at first. And it goes back and forth between the two characters' perspectives. And I was just like, ugh, I don't know. I'm not sure. But when I got into it, and I ended up having to switch formats to get into it, but once I really got into the story, I really enjoyed it. And I started to grow with them and understand them a little bit more, and I got there. And the same happened with None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. I got that as a book of the month. I get those, you know, they send you monthly books, which I have so many books already in digital. But anyway, I still occasionally get these hardcover books. And I have really liked a lot of other Lisa Jewell books. And I just, for some reason, I couldn't get into it. I wasn't in the right vibe or right mood at all. And then I went on vacation and took it with me. And it was in one sitting, I finished that story, you know? So I think sometimes it really, like, the DNF is not a forever DNF. So that's a, like, helpful reminder. And also when I look back at that, like, massive list I have of the books I had checked out before, I will revisit that well, because it's sometimes it is just like, maybe I just need to switch it up and like make it an audiobook instead of an ebook, or sit down with a physical book this time and change it to see if that's going to get me into it this time.
I think that's a really important distinction, is that like there's DNFing and then there's like, this is not for right now. I will come back to this. So we've kind of talked about how y'all make goals. It seems like everyone is tracking. It seems like everyone is doing it in different ways, either in Libby or in Goodreads. What about reading challenges?
Hot take. I actually really don't like reading challenges. I love our reading challenge. It's wonderful. Do it. Everyone participate. But I generally don't like putting more pressure on myself to do things. Because the minute it's like assigned, reading is an effort. Or
once you have homework, you're never going to get it done.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much I want to. If I like, I would love to read a Greek myth retelling or a whatever, the minute I make it homework, I absolutely rebel. And I 100% blame undergrad and graduate school for that. So it's just my like, find something that will make reading fun for you. And if that's a reading challenge, excellent. If it's the Pro Book Nerds reading challenge, even better. If you don't like reading challenges, you're not alone.
I will also say, just in defense of ours, I don't consider it a challenge. I think that's a name that was picked that we keep. But I view it as like the girlies on TikTok who put popsicle sticks in a cup and then they wrap all their books and they go, okay, whatever number 14 is. And then that's the book that they're reading at the time. I like to think of it as that way. These are prompt. I'm with you, Emma, on I think you have to be really careful, because I am fully susceptible to, you know, like we pick our interviews based off of books that we are dying for. And there will still be like a week where I go, I want to read this book. I've had this book. I'm talking to this author about this book, but my brain just goes like, but you can't read it now because it's homework. And then like, it's a lot easier to get over that for an interview, because that's exciting and that like fixes it. But even with that, it still happens. Shannon, what about you? How do you feel about a reading challenge?
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. and then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
I think, like, I appreciate really reading challenges because it does challenge you to read something different or outside of your normal, especially if it's like, I don't know, just like a different author or just, you know, subject matter or whatever it may be. Like, I appreciate that. And it does help expose, like, you to all the world of options out there, because it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like there's like a new genre every day. They're like, this is this, this, and this all combined, or this is like this, this, and that. And you're like, okay. But yeah, I think it, when it comes down to like, unless you're super competitive, obviously challenges are great, you know, like especially competitive with yourself. But like, you know, I don't want reading to be a chore. I don't want to feel guilty for not being into it. Like, you know, we were talking about being in the right mood for it. If I'm not vibing with it, like trying to get through it it's just a chore. I don't want to do it. I want it to be enjoyable. I want it to be a fun experience.
Pick a few prompts from a few different reading challenges and let those decide your like off-season books, because I'm in the like right now I'm only reading cozy mysteries, but then I force myself to take a week off of those and read something else to keep me from stalling out.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point of using the challenges as inspiration for trying to get yourself kind of going back to, we talked about the reading ruts, the reading slumps, right? So sometimes that can help you think of a new thing. I know my sister is a really in-depth reader, but for a long time she was finding herself only reading the exact same type of book over and over and over again. And she felt like she needed something to help her diverge from that. So she found a challenge. I think it was on StoryGraph, which is like Goodreads, one of those types of tracking, that was encouraging more diverse reads. And so specifically like finding an author writing about a country that you do not live in, and you know, trying to get different, really mixing up and mixing in a diverse genre, diverse types of books than what she was stuck in. So I think that reading challenges could be helpful in that way, to try and guide you out of, you know, out of a slump or out of kind of one season to the next. I like that framework too. But I know I personally also find them a little bit challenging, like, but you know, I guess that is, they are a challenge. I'm doing air quotes. They are a challenge, I guess, for a reason. But I know that sometimes they can be a tool, maybe then instead of a full framework or guide.
Now, I wanted to just hop into some tips here. We're going to go through some tips for setting reading goals. And I want you to chime in here, you know, as you feel. And then some tips for getting out of a slump, because I want to make sure we give everyone some things to walk away with as they think of how they are continuing the rest of 2024 as readers. So the first tip on my list here is, as we've said already, it's not about the number completed. It is about the journey. And then be realistic and give yourself some grace. What do y'all think from those two things? I feel like that's kind of the big thing. Everything we've talked about already, scheduling time in your calendar for reading. If you're just struggling to say that, like, I don't know when I'm going to make time for myself. For me, it's very helpful to say at 5 p.m., I am reading for 30 minutes. And if I want to read for longer than that, or if I want to read for shorter than that, great, but it's on the calendar. Pick up those challenges, set some loose goals. What other things would you share with readers, either that we've talked about already that you want to add to, or that we would add in addition?
having ADHD, like my brain just thinks like I'm a time wizard and I can bend time and space, like Doctor Who or whatever. And I think like, oh yeah, I can definitely get like, you know, like I can finish this book in a day or whatever. And it's like, no, you know, be realistic with yourself, you know, try to tell yourself like, what can you get done in a day? What can you get done in a month, a year, whatever? You know, the having grace, I just, you know, just don't beat yourself up for it. You know, life happens. and, you know, countless books will get, you know, loans will get lapsed and, you know, you'll have to like re-put it on hold or whatever it may be, or, you know, you just didn't get, you know, got to get back to it, but like, you know, give yourself some grace. There's life is crazy. Like, you know.
Absolutely. And be, like you said, give yourself that grace, but be real about time. I fully picked up a 900 page book and said, absolutely, I'll be done this afternoon. What? I'm still not done. I started it like a month ago because it's heavy and it gives me anxiety. So I have to take breaks and read other books while I'm reading that one. So, you know, be real.
Or you have a like a 25 hour audiobook that you have to get done in like 18 hours. So you're like reading it 2x speed.
Yeah. Right. And like, I guess this is Alvin and the Chipmunks reading to me today.
Yeah.
Melissa, Emma, Andrea, any things you would add for setting goals?
I don't think anything additional. I think that's, we've kind of hit on what I do to set my goals. It's just looking at last year, looking at my time, what I've got come up, what I have on my TBR, and just kind of crossing my fingers.
Holding on for dear life as the year flies by. I know with your kids, you're fitting in reading time whenever.
Yes.
I think everyone on this call but me is a parent, so never mind. You're all fitting in reading time wherever. It's just me.
I do. I fit in reading time because like my girls go to ballet. And a lot of the moms or dads will drop the kids off and they'll leave and go run errands. And I stay and I use that time to read. Because like I could go run the errands, but I also could just sit and read. And they're not going to bother me because they're in dance class and they're not asking me for snacks and they've got it covered. So that's like a good like hour, 45 minutes between the two of them that I can just sit and read and do what I want to do. And I don't feel guilty about it because sometimes they get sad when I leave. So I'm like, I'm here, but they're also not here. Like, so for me, that's where I carve out some time during the weekend to just sit and read.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I try really hard. My son still naps, and I will be sad when that time goes away. I think it's soon-ish. But I often, when he's napping, I'm like, oh, now is a great time to do the laundry and do my errands and do whatever, but sort of combating that instinct and using it to actually do things that are restorative, whether that is also read or nap or just sit there like a blob and not do anything. I second that. I try to make sure that even if it's just an hour of that time or like a half an hour of that time, I don't have to fill it frantically with other things. I can use it for reading. So I do try to do that. I'm not always successful, but I agree. You can sort of carve out the time where you can. A little bit goes a long way for your what feels like your reading progress. It's even like 20 minutes here or there.
Definitely. Listen to your brain. Listen to your body. What is it gonna benefit the most from if you're just giving yourself 20 minutes on the clock, do whatever you need to do in this period of time. For those of you who might be in a slump or a rut, and Melissa, I really like the point you brought up about how sometimes it could also just be like, you could be stuck in a mood. I hadn't even thought about that. Like, as much as I'd love to read something else, I can only read this right now. How do I read something else? What are some of the ways that all of you get out of a slump? The first one here is no surprise to me. So Emma, kick us off.
To get out of a reading slump, I feel like it really depends on what caused the slump, first of all. But I think we've talked about this a few times. I do really agree with the suggestion that I think everyone had on our notes was to try another format. So if you're not jiving with one or the other, and I do personally swear that I can read the ebook of something faster than other formats. I don't know if that's actually true or what, but like I can have my phone with me and kind of like peek and read a page while I'm doing like, I don't know, whatever else I'm doing. That's obviously not driving or anything. And you can kind of like read through a couple of pages and then you're, and so for me, I feel like I can read an ebook in a day. I don't know that I necessarily do that with other formats. So if you sort of figure out whichever format jives best, and I know a lot of you are audiobook listeners, which I'm not. So I would love to hear about the audiobook rec.
I will second that. I also think I read ebooks faster. I don't know if it's because it's less daunting, like to hold a giant book in my hand. Yeah. And the thin thing, you're just like swipe, swipe, swipe. So it feels faster. But I agree with you, Emma. I think I read ebooks faster than I do physical books.
My take was like audiobooks, it's great for me just because of all the multitasking I can do. And a lot of people I know use it for like commuting and whatnot, which is absolutely a great, you know, tool to utilize, especially if you're in your car by yourself driving and it's a particularly raunchy book. But you don't have to worry about the kids hearing it too or whatever or complaining. But even just like at home, like if I have to do a task that, you know, like who loves doing dishes and laundry, right? But if I can sit there and have an audiobook on my, you know, like pair of headphones on and I'm folding, it makes the chore less daunting for me. I can actually focus on the book while I'm doing these like, you know, menial tasks that, you know, don't really take any effort, you know, mentally, but like listening into the audiobook allows me to, you know, I can do two things at once. And then like, I also do it when I'm crafting. That way I'm doing two things I enjoy at the same time. And I'm like, well, I can feel good about, really good about myself. And, you know, I can have a lot of that self-care type of thing where I'm, you know, taking the time for me and also enjoying and absorbing a book at the same time. So.
I think it's really great if you are like Emma and Andrea and you are stalwart ebook readers, if you find yourself a little bit caught, switch to the audiobook, switch to the physical, change up your format, change the game for yourself there. I love to reread. I'm a big rereader. I have seasons just for rereading in my life. And I think that's also a great way to bump yourself out of it. I know for Emma as well, picking a book from a favorite author. So there's just different ways that you can kind of jump in. So what are some other ways that you will pull yourself out of a slump, either rereading something new, something from a fave? What do y'all do?
So I like the rereading. Sometimes I'll reread a whole book. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to reread a whole book, despite how much I love it. So I will reread favorite scenes from favorite books.
Oh.
For instance, one of my favorite scenes is from A Court of Wings and Ruin, where Feyre and Lucien get saved on the ice. And then there's the reunion right after. And that scene, just like Nick Miller running into Prince high-pitched level screams, makes me so happy. So I will reread that. Well, I guess it's like two or three scenes. I will reread those two or three scenes. And it just like sparks something in me because it brings me such joy and such happiness. Right now, just thinking about it makes me want to reread it. But yeah, like, so maybe rereading just like specific scenes that, you know, bring you such happiness and joy will really kind of kick that reading slump out of you.
You have to read a book. Sorry, Emma.
No.
Do you have to reread a book a certain number of times before you're comfortable jumping into just a scene? Or do you just have to get through it once?
I think I just have to get through it once. And if like that scene sticks with me, like I've read that book like three times. So maybe that's why it's like the first one that jumped into my head. But if a scene really sticks with me, I can reread that book once and be like, I need to reread that scene again.
I'm like, scenes, Andrea, you're changing my life here.
I know.
I'm like itching to go read that scene in A Court of Wings and Ruin.
Probably reread it once we get off this call. Like,
it's right there. I want to. See you guys later.
Right. Emma's just going off camera, turning around and grabbing the book.
If you don't hear from me, it's because I'm off cam rereading the scene.
How does everyone else feel about that? My world is shocked. I have like favorite episodes of TV shows that it took me years of my life to not have to watch at least the whole season to get to that favorite episode, to just be able to put it on. So the idea of just opening, like for the first time this year was the first time I just like picked a book in the middle of a series during reread season and not starting from one and going all the way through. So the thought of just opening it up to a scene, my heart, I'm going to challenge, like that's that I'm scrapping the challenge I had for myself for this year. That's the challenge. Pick up a book and reread a scene you liked. Wow. How do y'all feel about that? I'm shook. Emma's shook. Emma's doing it right now.
Well, I just wanted to ask, like, especially Andrea specifically, like, do you mark all your books? Do you tab? Do you highlight and stuff like that so you can go back to that? Or are you just literally like, oh, I think it was somewhere around here? Because, like, for me, I'm like, I don't know, like,
I'll never remember again.
Yeah. I'm a snob when it comes to physical books most of the time. Like, I, like, unless it's like professional development or something like that, but like, I will not like mark my books for some reason. And I'm like, oh, I can't get into this because so many people like take notes and write about it inside, you know, inside their physical books. And I feel like, you know, maybe it's easier with like Libby or something like that, you know, where you can like put a bookmark right in there and just like, oh, this was a good scene or whatever. But yeah, I was like, I wondered how everybody like approaches that because I'm like, I don't do that.
I do not mark my books. These babies behind me are pristine. I am not that person. So if it's a book I've reread a couple times, I have a better idea of where the scene is. But if it's a book I only read once, but the scene really stuck with me, I will have like a vague idea. And that's kind of maybe sometimes where like the scenes do come in handy because I'll flip through the book and I'll come across another scene that I liked that maybe not have stuck out as much. And I was like, oh yeah. And I'll reread that one in my hunt for the one I was originally looking for. And then, yeah. And then sometimes I'm like, well, I'm just guess I'm going to reread this whole book now. So sometimes it backfires.
That is so impressive to me. I don't read, I find that I usually don't reread a lot of fiction. Even though things do really stick with me, but there'll be times where I, especially in like memoirs or nonfiction or essays or something, where I will be telling somebody about something like, oh, I really liked this particular part. And then I'll want to go and find that just to reference it and find, so I'll go back to my book or I'll remember like, oh, it had this word in it. So I'll do a search in Libby. So it will come up and I'll remember and reread that just to share it with somebody. I find that I do that. There've been a couple of books of essays that I've really like about mothers and parenting that have really stuck with me. And especially as some of my friends have become parents where I wanted to share that with them. And so even though I'm not recommending necessarily the whole book, like I'll want to find that particular passage or something and that will reread. And so that I think even though I'm not rereading favorite scenes, like that kind of will sometimes kick me into like, oh, I did really like that. They'd want me to read more of things like that, even though I think usually when I sit down to read most of the time, I'm picking fiction. But if I'm going back to kind of revisit parts of it, it might be from those kind of essays, memoirs, more nonfiction-y stuff. So maybe kind of changing the form or changing the genre a bit from what I was in the reread of, you know, for that helps.
I love how different and how similar we can all be. And that like, if we don't match on one element, it, you know, like while you may not reread novels, you reread in a different way, or you'll reference certain portions. Like there's just like a pool of what all readers kind of do. And we all do it in our own unique way, which I love. Also Emma and I, real quick, we don't mark books. Emma's got a reading copy in most cases and a pristine copy.
In most cases, only for books that I'm an absolute loon about.
Collector. Yeah.
But no, otherwise I read the copy that I have. But right, for ones that I want to collect, I do have a reading copy.
Yeah, college was difficult. I could never bring myself to mark up a book. It hurts me. So I would get those like translucent post-it notes or just like stick any sort of tabs in. And then one day they'd like all fall out and it'd be time to write the paper. And I'd go like, I'd be furiously Googling like, what scene did this happen when they say this line? And I could remember the exact quote, but no one had asked the same question in Google. So it didn't help me. As we start to wind down, I just wanted to kind of quick blast through a few more slump ideas. I love read favorite scenes of books. I also love the idea of trying a new genre that's very similar to a favorite. So kind of goes to what Melissa was saying as well of like, oh, that does remind me that I really liked this. Maybe I'll take a break and switch over to that. If you're a mood reader like me and you get caught in that cycle of I can only read this type, pick a genre that's a little bit parallel to it. So if you are a fantasy reader, try a sci-fi that aligns a little more along that fantasy. Or if you are a mystery reader, try a thriller that's not so murdery. It's a little more mystery. You know, you'll find that neat kind of Venn diagram intersection. There's no rhyme or I'm now just looking at some notes here. There's no rhyme or reason to this, but sometimes reading a book in a completely different genre works. So sometimes you just have to blast yourself across the library into, if you are purely fiction reader, maybe you're picking up nonfiction. If you only read romance, maybe now you're picking up that young adult thriller. So just some good key things there. Emma?
I think also, and I apologize if we talked about this on a past episode recently, but I think also if you pick a book that you've been meaning to read or that you see that you want to read that you, I would say, know almost nothing about, if that makes sense. So if you haven't read like the description in too much detail, but you're like, oh, that sounds good or whatever, I sometimes think the less you know, the better, when you just dive in and then can kind of help get you out of whatever, you know, sort of rut you're in, because you're just, I don't know. Again, I just sometimes I feel like it helps if I see a book and I'm like, I haven't even read the description. Just I can't know too much sometimes, depending on the mood.
Yeah, less buildup for it. You truly just know nothing. You went this, either you heard a vague description or you're like, I like the cover. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think I did that with after listening to your episode with Rachel Harrison, and I forgive the gentleman because I cannot remember his name. But I did that with Black Sheep. I went in after hearing that episode, didn't know much about it other than what you guys had talked about. And after I read that book, having gone into it or nothing, I went on like the biggest reading binge that I think I just was like flying through books. And I wasn't in a slump beforehand, but again, like that kind of premise of like, I knew nothing, I went into it, and then I just could not stop devouring every book I read after it.
I think sometimes you don't know what's going to like light the fire under you or give you that little bit of a kick, but when it happens, it happens.
Yeah, and for listeners, that was our episode with Rachel Harrison and Clay McLeod Chapman. So if you're interested in horror, definitely check out their things. They're fantastic. Plug.
They are like the new love them. Masters of horror. Yeah, we love them.
Sorry, Clay. Sorry, I forgot your name.
Before we go, what are you reading right now?
The Light Lark series right now. I just finished the first book and I'm on the second one.
I am listening to Fatebreaker by Victoria Abelard, which is the third and final book in that series. And I am scared because she is not afraid to kill characters. So every chapter, I'm holding my breath.
I just started listening to a book called This Bird Has Flown by Susanna Hoffs. She is a member of the Bangles from the 80s. Anybody is familiar with Bangles. But she has a book, and it is the recommendation, and here's why I borrowed it, was this quote from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Bird Has Flown is so good. If you like Daisy Jones and the Six or Juliet Naked, I feel like you will love this one. And I was like, well, you got me, Taylor Jenkins Reid. That's exactly up my alley. So listening to that one right now.
Got me by plugging your own book.
Yes.
I am currently reading Magnolia Parks by Jessa Hastings. I'm reading the ebook. But I did just get my notification in Libby that House of Earth and Blood Part 1, the graphic audio, is alive and in my queue. So I may head over to that.
taking a little diversion. Yeah. I am reading Let Us Descend by Jesmyn Ward. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for sharing a bit about how y'all go about setting your reading goals for the year, how you fight against any slump, issue, rut. The Libby Awards are coming up. Emma and I are your hosts, March 12th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We hope to see you there. You can register. More info in the description. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and happy reading.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode on Overdrive.com or in Libby. Our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Emma Dwyer and Joe Skelly and presented by Overdrive. To learn more, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.